podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm talking about captaining him rather than getting rid of him.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £25,000. My name's Serge.
Why 25, sir?
Isn't that second prize?
No, don't be silly.
I didn't know what second prize was, but I thought we've given up both trying to think that we can win it. So let's focus on second prize now, which I have no idea what it is.
I've given up on the top 10, mate. Doesn't particularly matter. My name's James.
Ben, I'm well, Serge.
How you doing?
Ben Cameron. That's all I'm going to be cheering and chanting.
Ben and a few others leading the race. I saw the guy in third and fourth is the same guy.
Same team, yeah.
Yeah, lovely, brilliant. Love lovely. It. Well done, that man. Darren Slater, I think his name is.
Slater, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well done, that man. How was your week, sir? Where you at?
So far, I'm doing okay. I've made two transfers this week. So I started out, I sold Lewis Dunk on Sunday for Harry Kane, and I gave Harry Kane the captain's armband. So that worked out okay. I mean, I'm on 85 points. I don't know. What is that? Is that good? Is that bad? Game week rank of 2,297. It's pretty decent.
That's not the best.
Oh, okay. I've always had game week ranks. 2,000. No, sorry. Was that my overall point? No.
That's your overall, I bet.
Season. Sorry, my game week rank is 24,000. Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Season rank and points.
I was going to say my game week ranks 2,073 and I got 20 more points than you, mate.
Oh, so wow. Okay. Yeah. So you're on 105 points. Wow.
Yes.
So obviously, I had a no show from Cancelo on Saturday, which was not great. And also, the Leeds Dallas didn't do anything for me either. But Harry Kane captaincy returned. And then yesterday, we all got hit by a rotation again on City. Although I decided that I'd had enough of Phil Foden and just went straight and bought Kevin De Bruyne and stuck the armband on him. So he ended up getting shot tier, pass tier, and his appearance point, 7 points, which relative compared to the defenders, I think is probably all right because they probably only picked up passing tier yesterday. Well, Stones picked up nothing, so yeah.
Yeah, but then Stones got a good return at the weekend, didn't he? So across the two games, Cancelo's the one who was the disappointment, I guess, from the three well-owned City players. And yeah. Of course, Edison as well, only 2 points.
Did you, you own over. Diaz? How many points is Diaz on?
For the week? I'd need to remember. I captained him on Saturday.
Must be 25.
20 points for the week, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the difference between you and me is Ruben Diaz. I don't own Ruben Diaz. I did go into the game light on City. Like, I only had 5 compared to the 7s and 8s that people had. And it's still going to hurt a little bit. Manchester United were a disappointment on Saturday as well. Nothing from Bruno, just the assist from Rashford, so... Not even the assist from Rashford, sorry. It was just the tier points. Shot tier one.
Well, because we were playing Chelsea and most of us, I think, went down the Kane or Salah route on Sunday.
Didn't matter.
None of us was particularly bothered what Bruno did in any case. Anyway, did you catch in Kane Sunday, right? Yeah. So, I mean, to be honest, at that point, you're basically at a point where you want him to fail if you're not captaining him. That's where you're at every week. The captaining him, when he's really popular, like I assume he'll be tonight, it almost doesn't matter. It's going to do nothing for you. And when you go against him, you really want him to fail because his ownership's so high. Just noting there, says you're one of only 49 people in the top 1,000 that doesn't own Ruben Diaz. But that's not true, actually, because you're not in the top 1,000.
I'm not in the top 1,000, mate. I'm 1,761 at the moment. So I'm still making 100, 150 places a week. Rise. Obviously, this match week is still not done. There's quite a lot of football still left tonight and tomorrow. I've only got Nick Pope and then the two Manchester United boys today. The armband will be on Bruno Fernandes. And I've got Harry Kane tomorrow. So hoping still just to keep edging forward and keep keep making strides, and then I'll see where I go from there. You're on 105 points, eh?
Yeah, I'm up to 94th.
Okay.
So back in the top 100, which I think psychologically is quite pleasing just to be back in there. What I'm kind of wrestling with my mind at the moment is that I need to make gains, like as everybody is probably thinking, unless you're first or second or Darren Slater. And when's the time to start doing things that are going to be a little bit different? Because you look at some of the moves that's been made since we've come back from overhaul. Take Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for example. I bought him on Monday. So did a lot of other people. Jumped up from, I think, 15% ownership in the top thousands to 55%.
Wow. Okay.
We saw that before the overhaul with the massive jump for Antonio. Lewis Dunk very recently shot up massively before Brighton played the Monday night game against Crystal Palace.
So all three of those have been rubbish as well. For those.
Well, unfortunately, in terms of transfers, a lot of people are making similar moves at the moment. But then that's understandable. We've all kind of worked on the same pattern. We've all overhauled at the same time. We're all thinking, okay, these are our moves for the first few weeks. Now maybe that we're getting extra fixtures added, i.e. we can now see that weekend of Friday the 12th with Villa's single game day and stuff. And then the fixtures maybe in April, which we don't know yet, that it might begin to split a little bit. And as much as I feel the urge to, oh, I've got to change this, I've got to change that, the reflection is that actually City underwhelmed last night and I still had a...
And won 4-1.
Well, I say underwhelmed from the perspective of returning points. I don't suppose there's many people out there with Mahrez or Gabriel Jesus. For the majority of us, well done to those who do. For the majority of us, we've missed out on the big hauls. But then from that last night, and I captain Cancelo, so down a point basically versus Diaz, there's neither here nor there really. I jumped 20 places last night. So it tells me I absolutely know that I'm ahead of the majority of people with the amount of Manchester City players that I own.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would have gone with Raheem Sterling yesterday.
I've got Sterling.
Oh, I think from a captaincy point of view.
Perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought so against Wolves. I'm sure some obviously did, but I think the majority of Sky players would look at Wolves and go, certainty for passing tiers from the defensive guys, looking at Wolves' team and going, yeah, that's pretty defensive. Like the idea that it's as it proved, Semedo right midfield and stuff, it's quite defensive. So I think the majority of people would have gone Cancelo or Diaz's captaincy last night. I mean, looking at Diaz's ownership, most people have probably gone with that if they didn't own Cancelo. I'd be surprised if there's many in the top, if there's anyone in the top 1,000 that doesn't have one of Diaz or Cancelo. There may be some that only have John Stones and then possibly went down a different route. But I think the majority of people would have probably captained the defensive player last night. And it's got me resting in my head in terms of my planned transfer tonight, which is Sterling to Watkins is the transfer that I want to make. Two Villa games coming up. I spoke about the idea of buying Watkins tonight last week. And now, of course, they've got the single game day against Newcastle on Friday the 12th. So that kind of locks in the idea for me. But you take a closer inspection, you go, okay, right, Villa got Sheffield United tonight and then Wolves on Saturday. But then City play twice again before Villa play Newcastle. So I'm looking at it and going, do I want to buy Watkins now for the two games versus Sheffield United versus Wolves? Or do I want to hold Sterling for Manchester United against Southampton? Knowing that with the City guys, I'm probably ahead. And therefore, I've now got a little bit of reluctance to make the move. I am 98% sure, however, that I am going to make that move.
Yeah, primarily tonight. Because if you're going to captain Watkins in one or in the single game day, at least anyway.
Yeah, but then I could just buy him on the day, couldn't I?
Yeah, that's true.
He's almost the point.
I'm not averse to losing Raheem Sterling now as well. I did feel like with the defensive guys, and then I had Gundogan, Foden and Sterling. Sterling was the only one that was potentially explosive. I know Gundogan's had hauls, but he's not explosive consistently. Foden, I don't know what's wrong with Foden and Pep and that. It just seems insane. The performances he puts in when he plays and then just disappears. Like, even when he didn't play at the weekend, everyone would have thought, well, at least it means he's going to play in the week. Did he? Bollocks. So it's really frustrating. And now that I've got Kevin De Bruyne into my team, I feel like I don't care about Sterling. Sterling's like the forgotten child for me now, because I'll always put the armband on Kevin De Bruyne. So I'm going to move Raheem Sterling on. And what I might end up doing is Rashford down to Ollie Watkins, because, well, not today, but in the next few game days. And Sterling up to Mo Salah.
Okay. I mean, that from that perspective, that doesn't work great, because you're sending Sterling on Sunday when Salah plays.
Yeah, Sterling's Salah in, United.
If you're getting Salah in, we know Sterling's never scored against Man United. If you're getting Salah in on, you want to do it Sunday.
We know that Raheem Sterling's played the last two games, which means he's going to be dropped on Sunday, doesn't it?
No, stop second-guessing Guardiola. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, no, please follow me on Twitter, at Sujan Shah, for fake Manchester City team graphics.
and everyone else judging by my stupid timeline last night, actually.
Yeah, mad.
I think there's probably a way you can manoeuvre that a little bit better. That, to go back to my Watkins point, I obviously could captain him against Wolves on Saturday. And I don't have many alternatives, having sold Dunk for Harry Kane on Sunday, which was the original overhaul plan. All I'm left with at the moment for Saturday is Vestergaard away to Sheffield United. Now, if I get Watkins in now, I can obviously captain him against Wolves.
I think
I'm going to captain Vestergaard against Sheffield United, you know.
But you're going to have Watkins still.
I'm 98% sure I'm going to buy Watkins tonight. Obviously, I get to see the team news as well. So I can obviously back out of it. There was a large rumour that went round at the weekend that he had an injury, wasn't there? Which proved not to be the case. So, I mean, if he's not in the team, I'm obviously not going to buy him, or we'll get to see that tonight. I'm pretty sure that I will buy him. It's just a concern that I'm buying him for two games when, as it stands, I'm not going to captain him. Then there's two games of Sterling. Admittedly, there's a good chance he only plays one or maybe even none of those games. I could just wait till the Newcastle game on the day, and it might be at that point I decide to make a different decision, because that's more the nagging point, that Jack Grealish might be back, or maybe Jack Grealish is out for a month and then it looks like El Ghazi is quite a good option, for example. That's the benefit of waiting. But I think I'm going to make the move tonight.
Interesting. Shall we run down a few of our captaincy thoughts for this week and next as well? I mean, we did cover off a little bit of this midweek. I'm not even going to ask you about tonight because, let me have a look here.
Because Bruno Fernandes is playing Crystal Palace.
You're playing, Bruno and, yeah, that's literally it. I was just making sure they had the right pictures up in front of me on the screen. Bruno tonight away at Palace, job done, is it?
Yeah, this is not, it's not one to go against him. The current top 1,000's ownership is 99.4%, which I think means that five people
have sold him. Yeah, mad.
Which, to be honest, it could be that people have dipped in and out. For example, thinking, I'll get the two Man City games Saturday and Tuesday. They might even be going back tonight.
Back to him tonight,
I'll skip the Chelsea game. A lot of us did that when they played Liverpool previously. I don't feel like tonight is the night to bother skipping. Even if you've got any doubt that he'd play, I still stick the hot pad on him. To be honest.
Tomorrow we have the advantage of seeing the Spurs team before you play Fulham. However, if most people are going to go with Harry Kane, and if not, Heung-min Son. Anyone that doesn't will maybe be still with Mo Salah at home to live at Chelsea. But I think a lot of people will go with Harry Kane. What's Harry Kane's ownership in the top 1,000 now? Let's have a look. 83.8%. So the majority of people are going to be captain of Harry Kane. If nothing else, you'll get shots here off.
I think there's a few that might go Dominic Calvert-Lewin, mate. That ownership's obviously shot up to about 55% itself
okay.
now.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'm just checking back on some Richarlison's numbers as well, because it feels like he's obviously scored in the last three league games. There's nothing with it. There's no shot tier. There's not even tackle tier. You know, it was the tackle king, wasn't he? There's nothing with it at all. So I think those who went Calvert-Lewin were probably still on the right decision on Monday. It's easy to say in hindsight, Richarlison scored. I think Calvert-Lewin's obviously a decent alternative tomorrow night. I'll be going Harry. If he's in the team, they're simple as for me. I wouldn't have a doubt about it. West Brom improving defensively as well. It's as much that. If it was the West Brom from a month ago, I think you could make a strong case to say, yeah, I'll go Calvert-Lewin instead. I'm not going to do that. I'll still go Harry Kane
tomorrow night. Me too. We talked about Saturday. I'm like you. I only have Yannick Vestergaard at the moment. So I think Vestergaard's going to be my captain on Saturday. I don't see myself needing or wanting to buy players from any of the other teams that are playing particularly. So I'm just going to stick with Vestergaard. There'll be a few who've got Villa assets.
There's a few that will have a problem.
A Harvey Barnes-shaped problem.
Villa. Well, yeah, and we'll come on to that because I know a few people obviously asked about Harvey Barnes.
Sure.
Arsenal way to Burnley based on what you saw at Burnley at the weekend. Perhaps if someone's gone Saka, for example, and you'll see the team, could be a temptation, maybe.
But Burnley getting spanked never then makes me think they're going to get spanked again in the next game. I think you can look at their games in total isolation. Like, one doesn't mean the same will happen in the next. So, yeah, I don't read into that. I could see them keeping a clean sheet against Arsenal.
I think Saturday's going to get an unusual spread, which is nice for a change. But I think the most captains on Saturday will probably end up being Emi Martinez.
Yeah.
Currently 18.5% owned in the top thousands. People are looking at a problem, are probably thinking, yep, buy Martinez tonight. I get the game tonight against Sheffield United. I get the game against Wolves and the captaincy on Saturday, which will mitigate a little bit of the missing out of the two Ederson games. And I think if people were intending to captain Martinez on Saturday, then I think a lot of people will make that move tonight. He should be fit, by the way, is the word. Because obviously he finished the Leeds game, unable to take goal kicks and stuff, didn't he? But Dean Smith has said that he's fit. On Dean Smith, just interestingly, you might have noticed that he's obviously downplayed, this is particularly related to FPL, the fact that he doesn't play fantasy football and has no particular interest in it because he's in the real world. Well, actually, if you have a look at the Sky leaderboard at the moment, Dean Smith's 88th. So I wouldn't believe everything. I wouldn't believe everything that he says, actually. Ollie Watkins is 11% owned in the top thousands tonight.
Yeah.
I still think I'd back Vestergaard on Saturday rather than Watkins, just on the potential of what it could be, I think, in terms of playing the worst team in the league, every chance of the clean sheet. You get passing tier when he played them at home by half time. And I realise both teams are in a very different place right now. Sheffield United are also weak defending set pieces. So I think, yeah. I know there's a lot of people thinking of selling him at the moment. I think I'm going to captain him Saturday, actually.
Interesting.
I think that's the route I'm going to take.
What about on Sunday now? I mean, City Man United is the big derby, but Harry Kane at home to Crystal Palace, pretty much, is the one that's screaming out for me. Although Mo Salah at home to Fulham is also an interesting option. I don't own Mo Salah, so we'll see. If I buy Mo Salah, I'd rather captain him than Harry Kane. But if I don't end up buying Mo Salah, I'll just stick it on Harry Kane.
I would go Kane anyway, personally. Looking at Palace, hopefully sitting on the beach now, really, which might be a little bit dependent, ironically, on what Tottenham do against Fulham themselves on Thursday. But I think Palace are, they're nearly there, aren't they? And yet they look very, very weak at the moment. So, I mean, I'd say Fulham are better defensively than them. So it would be Kane for me on Sunday would be the preference. Yeah. I guess on the face of it, you go, well, Fulham are worse in the league than Palace, Salah, reasonable. Fulham have been one of the best defensive sides in the league over the last couple of months or so. And Salah's, he's not doing it at the moment, let's be honest. So for me, it would be Kane. I think there's also, you won't get the teams for the lineups for either. There's more chance of Salah being left out than Kane. If Jota's back in the squad, right?
Yeah.
It could well shake that up. So I think it's definitely Kane for me. If he's fit, he'll play.
Yeah. What about the Monday night at the moment? Who do you own? Chelsea, Everton, West Ham, Leeds?
Well, I've landed now with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, obviously having bought him on Monday, and that's all I've currently got because I sold Bamford for him. And part of the decision of making that Bamford to Calvert-Lewin on Monday rather than Bamford Kane and juggling it about previously was on the base of, oh, if something had happened to Calvert-Lewin, I've still got Bamford for Monday night. So at the moment, I may just roll with that, but the intention in the plan is to buy Rafinha. Most probably for Rodri after the Manchester derby. That's the thinking at the moment. I'm not big on getting Rafinha in, especially to play against you because you're very good defensively. But I do like the idea of getting him in at his value as a midfielder. I think that's the right way forward for probably my strategy from now until the end of the season to get him in. His numbers over the last four or five game weeks or so are up there with the best midfielders in the country, particularly in terms of his creation. So I want to buy Rafinha, but I don't have to do that on Monday. I can obviously leave that, still captain Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And then I've got the two games of Rodri, Southampton and Fulham, if he plays. Then, of course, there's a good chance he doesn't play. Rodri will almost certainly play in the Manchester derby, doesn't he? So maybe I'd only miss one game of Rodri. That's part of the thinking. But I could wait up till the single game day of Fulham and just get him in on the night. That's the possible thinking. But I think I'll buy Rafinha Monday. If I buy him, I'll captain him over right. Calvert-Lewin, I think.
Yeah, I've got Stuart Dallas at the moment that gives me the coverage, but it doesn't excite me. But, you know, Stuart Dallas, I mean, he's been good recently in all forms of the game because of the goals he's picked up and what have you.
Dallas and Bamford are absolutely fine for the captaincy next Monday if you have.
I'm just tempted to move away. Like, I could sell Dallas and get Antonio, for example, to give me the West Ham coverage. And I like the idea of Antonio just because we need to win our upcoming game. So I think there'll be a bit more attacking impetus.
Well, but there is that as well as an alternative. We're obviously talking about buying midfielders. At the moment, he is fit. He's 4.3% owned in the top 1,000. And I imagine that will change come Monday. You also have the benefit with Antonio that they'll play on that weekend with only four fixtures. Got Arsenal. You're probably not going to captain him against Arsenal because of Harry Kane's ownership, I should imagine. You're not going to captain him away to Manchester United on Sunday the 14th. And then there's games afterwards, which we don't know where they'll fall yet. Wolves, Leicester, etc. But, I mean, I wouldn't expect an April fixture announcement this week. But let's say that we had it, for example, and suddenly Wolves is on the Monday night on April the 5th. Then that would add to the appeal, certainly, to then think, OK, two captaincies. The problem with him is the same as always. Can he stay fit for long enough? And at the moment, transfers are becoming more and more precious, right?
I'm loaded, mate. I've got 16.
You ain't got that many, mate. I mean, that's quite a bit at the moment. But there's a lot of people obviously down to sort of 12s, 13s and a little bit less. I noticed that the average transfer count in the top 10 is higher than the rest of the game now, right? Which that in itself gives you an understanding of how difficult it's going to be to make the gains into that area. So do you want to buy a player who's so injury prone? And ideally, you buy Antonio and you leave him and you forget him and he stays there all season. Is he going to stay fit for the rest of the season? I've joked with you about it on our Tottenham podcast that it's just a matter of time before your lot get whingy about ain't bought no backup striker and stuff. I think it's fated, mate. It's going to ruin your season.
Maybe. We'll see. Time will tell. I don't think so. We've got cover. Although, obviously, Yarmolenko is cover. He's out now still for a while, long term or what have you. We did all right the other week when we played without a striker as well. So let's see.
But obviously, absolutely brilliant differential, potentially. And Thomas Souček, 2.7% owned. He's obviously on a little bit of a lull. Only 4 points in his last four games, actually. I'll read that as he's due. But I think Rafinha is the better play for me, rather than Antonio, especially as he's going to cover the Fulham-Leeds game on Friday the 19th for me as well.
I don't agree on that Souček thing. Be honest with you.
Well, he's due.
Well, it's not that he's due. And look, set pieces at any time, he can
against Leeds.
Deliver. But I think his breaking into the box from open play has become less since Jesse Lingard has arrived. Jesse Lingard occupies that space quite a bit in front and they break with pace. Souček hasn't been from open play breaking into the box as much as he has in the past. Don't get me wrong, 6'4", set piece, any given time, yeah. And he has still had chances, but it's just not the volume that I've seen before. So
I think that's possibly impacted a little bit by the fact that the last two games have been Tottenham and Manchester City. And
that's expecting that as well.
To break into the box less, right? So
Yeah, that as well.
I would go Antonio over Souček, though.
Of course.
If you're looking at them as differentials. Dallas is absolutely fine if you want to go and buy any. To be honest, I would like to get him in now. In terms of the captaincy for that particular fixture, I quite rate his chances of getting some tiering actually in that. But for me, I just think the filling that midfield hole with a 6.8 million midfielder at the moment is too appealing not to do it for me. So I'm highly likely to go Rafinha on Monday.
Okay. Should we have a look at some of the questions we've had through on Twitter?
Yes, sir.
Where should we start? We'll start at the top because I always usually start at the bottom. And Mr. Ian Parrin, he managed to always get his question to be the top question. Sometimes Benny Blanco gets in at the top, but Ian's always up there at the top.
So. Maybe he's got us on alert. I don't know.
No, I mean, Twitter probably ranks accounts in order of importance. So Ian, get in, son.
Harsh, get your complaints into Twitter.
No, Ian's right up there. Come on. Assuming the fixtures pan out in a reasonably kind fashion, how many of your current players do you estimate will remain in your team when Sky returns in April after the international break?
Good question. I think, so currently I have 7 Manchester City players. I'll be down to 3 or 4 on the other side of that international break, I think. Intention for me is to sell Ederson to Patricio on Monday the 15th. I'm possibly looking at Stones to Dunk on Sunday the 14th. Rodri to Rafinha, as I said. Sterling to Watkins tonight. So that would actually leave me with 3 Manchester City players. Calvert-Lewin, Kane, Fernandes, Vestergaard. I see staying. So that would leave me with probably, I think that's 7 the same, isn't it?
I'm similar. I've got Stones, Cancelo, De Bruyne, I think are going to stay. Fernandes, Kane, I think is definitely going to stay. Pope and Dallas. So, yeah, 7. I think Vestergaard will be gone when I don't need him anymore. Rashford and Sterling and Gundogan would all go when I don't need them anymore. So, yeah, I'm with you. Exactly the same number. 7, I think, will stay. And we'll move it around. CMFPL Scout, Champ Man FPL Scout says, which is the better move in your opinion? And we've discussed this one. Ederson to Martinez or Sterling to Watkins?
I think for the majority of people, the answer to that question is Ederson to Martinez. That won't be for me because of part of my scripted plan at the moment is to go Rui Patricio to cover Wolves from Monday the 15th. But I think that's the better move, is Ederson to Watkins. You've seen it over the last couple of days that, yes, they've been absolutely brilliant defensively, City, but concede one goal is probably 2 points. That's where you're at. And a Martinez clean sheet at the moment, he's regular 11 points if he keeps a clean sheet. So I think Martinez, I think if you get Martinez as well, you'll probably captain him on Saturday. Whereas I'm talking about buying Watkins, I'm not convinced about captaining him over Vestergaard on Saturday. And I think that tells a little bit of a story. If I had Martinez on Saturday, I'd definitely go Martinez. But I think Martinez is a better captaincy choice for that fixture than Ollie Watkins, personally.
I'm tempted to buy Martinez today for Nick Pope, you know, looking at it, because he's got, the Sheffield United game, Wolves and Newcastle, which is a captaincy. So that's 4 versus Leicester, Arsenal, 2 games for Pope.
Today's not really the day to make the move, though, is it?
No, but then neither is Saturday.
Correct.
So get it done. But you think wait till the Newcastle game and just buy him then?
Yeah.
I think he'll outscore Pope, though, in the Leicester-Arsenal games with the Sheffield United-Wolves games.
He probably will. Is it worth it?
Well, clean sheets in those 2 versus blanks in those 2 for Pope. It's 20 points.
If you're going to captain Martinez either tonight or, I presume you're not obviously tonight, but perhaps on Saturday, then, okay, yeah, then it becomes worth it. Then you're looking at an effective 5-for-2, right? If you captain him on the Friday, the
2 occasions.
Yes, you're going to miss Burnley against Everton, but then you've got Villa against Tottenham. And of course, there is still the possibility of Villa playing Everton on Tuesday the 16th or Wednesday the 17th. However, I'm becoming less and less confident in that by the day as it goes past. What I will say on that is if it doesn't happen on the 16th or the 17th, I do think it will happen very early after the international break. Like it could be, for example, Tuesday the 6th or Wednesday the 7th. So I wouldn't think, oh shit, that's it, it's not happening until May. I still think it will happen quite early in April, so just bear that in mind.
Asks a question. Do you think Pope to Martinez is worth the move this week? No real fixture game. It covers the single and arguably better fixtures too. I must have telepathically thought, Matt, the same thing. With transfers to burn, I might make it. If I do that, then Emi Martinez pretty much will stick with me till the end of the season. I don't see myself wanting to chop and change that spot too much. too much more, and he does have that extra fixture. Mark Dorney, as teams seem to be quite template this time of year, what one change would you make in the game to spice things up a bit?
I would price players far higher. I think that Bruno, 99.4% ownership in the top 1,000. Ruben Dias, 95.1% in the top 1,000. I don't think that's great for the game.
Yeah.
It's effectively a nine-player game.
But what we end up then doing is gravitating towards the same cheap players. So we all want the premium assets, and we all want similar premium assets. So then it means that all the cheaper assets, there's only a handful of good 6-7 million pound assets. It's not like there's a plethora of them. So we end up with the same cheap assets to enable the expensive assets. And then we end up back in the same cycle, which is a templated team.
I would like the game to be less template.
Oh, 100%.
And it's worth saying, when I say that, yeah, we've just come out of overhaul, so that might change a little bit in the coming weeks. But still, for the majority of people, unless he goes on a really, really bad run, are not selling Bruno Fernandes. And the same applies to whether you're hopping on or hopping back off of Man City players or whatever. There's not many people going to sell Ruben Dias. He's the most nailed Manchester City defender. It doesn't make sense, really, to sell him. So even after that Fulham game that City have on the 13th, yeah, there's going to be gains of a few teams for a little while, depending on the April fixtures. What are you going to do? Go Esri Konsa for 3 games and then go back, for example. Just doesn't really feel worth it. Diaz is one, just go, yep, I'll find the gain off another player, I think. So I would like the game to be less template. I think the easiest way to do that is make everybody's price higher. So there's some players who you see the price at the start and you go, I know now I'm not owning him all season because it's too much. But I think for these popular guys, and it is worth saying, Ruben Dias is obviously not going to be this price next season. He's going to be Van Dijk levels. He's possibly even a bit more. He's going to be the most expensive defender in the game, probably, considering what City have done over the last few months. But then Bruno, smash him up. Yeah, make him the most expensive player in the game. Like, put him well beyond 12 million and stuff.
What about, I think another couple of options that might be interesting would be, and this will only make the game more difficult, but I think we've got to the point where people who are playing this game to this part time of the season are well engaged enough to handle a little bit more complexity. At both overhauls, reprice everybody, because you don't know who's going to perform and who's not going to perform at the start of the season.
Absolutely would not trust Sky to do that properly in 1 week, mate.
No, but they'll be thinking about it well in advance, right? So when they'll forget to press the button
or something. I don't trust them.
That would make it complicated, because then some of the cheaper players that you're getting away with, now you have to think twice about, because they've gotten more expensive because they're better. And the other thing is, like, obviously there are no chips in this, right, really, other than the overhaul. And what makes FPL different is that we use our chips at different times and we have different chip strategies. So maybe introducing a chip or two. I'm not that keen on that idea, because the simplicity is what's good about the game. But if we're trying to break away from everybody having the same strategy and same template,
The spicing it up would be something like second overhaul, use it whenever you want, something like that.
Yeah, to give everybody a little bit more freedom and flexibility. The fact that you use your overhaul at the same time and the prices of all the players are locked is what drives towards this template nature. So free it up a little bit. Let's talk. Go to FPL Fish. What to do with Jorginho? I mean, if he's still stinking around in your team,
Bin.
Stick with him or move on. Move on a 4-4-3 and have no Villa. So original plan was to move to Grealish. He looks like he's out longer now, and no other Villa midfield really appeal.
El Ghazi would if Grealish is out for quite a while, but it looks like he's not. Dean Smith, currently 88th in Sky, has said that he's not going to Sheffield United this evening, but he hasn't been ruled out of the Wolves game on Saturday. And then even if he is that the captaincy coverage you possibly want for the 12th, which you don't maybe want to block yourself out of when they play Newcastle? There's not an easy one in that midfield area. I mean, we've spoken about West Ham assets. One name we didn't obviously mention is Jesse Lingard, who's 7.2 million. But the reason I didn't mention him is he can't play against Manchester United on the 14th. He's actually only going to play once, between now and 21st. Now, if that's the player you really want to captain on Monday the 8th, then okay, consider him Monday the 8th. But I think I'd rather go for Antonio. In fact, to be honest, personally, I'd be buying Suchek over Lingard. Because of that, I'd just go, that's
extra fixtures, that's too not far. Worth it.
Yeah, sod that. The midfield area is really difficult at the moment because, as I said, those who bought Harvey Barnes, like Jack Grealish, was the obvious way out of that. There's not great options in there. That's why I want to buy Rafinha on Monday. I think Saka, he's coming to the point where he's going to become a consideration. You obviously get the team on Saturday, so you could buy him for the Burnley fixture. Then you've got Tottenham. Then they play in the blank week, West Ham. And then beyond Liverpool, they've got a really good running for their final eight fixtures.
Can I add, are you with this replacement for Jorginho, you may as well answer the question at the same time, Harvey Barnes replacements, because FPL Wilson's asking about that. It's a similar price point, similar position. Assuming people have to go sideways to a midfielder, I think Saka's an interesting shot, actually. I like the likes of Saka at that price point. He's good. He's decent.
Saka, as I said, I think you could buy Saturday. Is one option. I think Rafinha. And I know that means that the instinct of the Sky player is, I don't want to wait for Monday. I want to get someone who's playing twice now. And of course, you could do that. You could punt, for example, for El Ghazi on the two games and then go to Rafinha on Monday. If you've got enough transfers left around for whatever reason. You're not going to City now in that area now. You would have already done it. Liverpool doesn't appeal. I mean, Curtis Jones is playing all right at the moment, but
Jota?
I mean, that was his first goal against Sheffield United at the weekend. Jota would be an amazing little potential differential, but what sort of fitness is he in and how often is he going to play? So you could get him in and you could think, oh yeah, that's my coverage for Monday the 15th as well. And then he's not in the team against his old club and you think, well, what's all that about? So I think Jota would be really punty at the moment because he hasn't played football for 2 months or so. You could make a case for Højbjerg, actually, considering you've got obviously an entry point on Thursday, good game, although there's every chance he won't hit Parson Tears against Fulham, actually, but he will do probably against Palace on Sunday. Then you've got the derby on the 14th, where he'll either be man of the match or get sent off. You've got the extra game against Villa now on the 21st. So Højbjerg might be okay, but you've probably got the coverage of Harry Kane, so that puts you off. I think if it was me, I'm wanting to be cautious with transfers. I realised there's gains before, but I think, honestly, I'll just go Rafinha on Monday, I think.
Yeah.
Is the best way to go.
All the other questions we have, James, are basically Ederson to Martinez or waste of a transfer. But there's one more, which we have talked about, but we'll wrap up the show with, which is SkyFF Tay saying, is it time for Vestergaard to go or hold and hope he starts hitting bonus points?
I would throw James Ward-Prowse into the mix for the midfielders as well. Not done a lot lately, but consistent. He'll play every game, that kind of thing. He's not the most expensive at 8 million. And he's got three games coming up with. To be honest, James Ward-Prowse, captaincy on Saturday. It's not the worst option. Got Brighton on the 14th. And as I've spoken about before with Southampton to cover the Vestergaard question, a brilliant run of fixtures on the other side of the international break, which is Burnley, West Brom, Palace, then possibly the rearranged game with Tottenham. I want to keep Vestergaard at the moment. I mean, for me, I'm talking about captaining him rather than getting rid of him, actually. I've got a major problem with fitness and injuries at the moment to the squad, which is damaging them. But I literally think defensively, the problem's solved by Kyle Walker-Peters coming back. And if I know Romeo's now out for the season, which is a massive blow, but they're missing Diallo as well, who's essentially is a number one backup to Romeo / Ward-Prowse. So he's not too far away either. He might even be back for the weekend, Diallo. So that would make a difference as well. So at the moment, I'm hanging on. I do not want Vestergaard in my team against Manchester City next week. But he's going to stay for me. I'd look at it and go next six fixtures, Sheffield United, Manchester City, Brighton, Burnley, West Brom, Crystal Palace. With possibly an extra game with Tottenham to go in there as well. I don't think it's time to
move on.
Where are you going with that money?
Yeah, exactly. Vestergaard, the other challenge
is... Dallas captaincy for Monday, maybe. Yeah, fair enough. But there's more there for Vestergaard, I think.
Yeah, he's 6.4 million is my point more than anything else. It's so cheap that it's not like there's loads of places that you can go with the money. Realistically, it's just one of those where for that price, I think I'm just going to put up with it and keep him in the team.
Unless you're getting something that is blatantly going to give you captaincy coverage or gains. So there might be people thinking like Ezri Konsa, 6.1 million. I see quite a few people mentioning Matt Target recently as well. Personally, I'd rather go for Konsa because, to be honest, Target could get the odd assist and he could get the odd tackle tier, but neither of them are going to get passing tier or anything like that. And Konsa is just as likely to get you a goal as Target get you an assist, I think. So I'd still go Konsa. Although they're both definitely starters, no selection concerns on that from that basis. But unless there's an obvious gain like that, so you could make the case to go, yeah, okay, I'll go to Konsa tonight, and then I've got at least five games over Southampton's three, and depending on when the Fulham fixture for Villa happens on April the 3rd, whether it's 3rd, 4th, 5th, you might have six for free over Southampton. And in that case, which you're obviously not going to know if you want to make that decision tonight, but I think, yeah, okay, you could go Villa defensive tonight, particularly as well, obviously, if it covers you for the captaincy on the 12th, which that's probably what a lot of people are thinking at the moment. I'll get rid of Vestergaard because I'm unsure what's happening with Grealish. I'll just get a Konsa or a Target. Perhaps people are happy, obviously, with Ederson and don't want to sell, which I understand. And then that covers them off. Otherwise, unless it's Villa or perhaps Dallas, if you really want, I can't really see too many reasons to move. Yeah. To be honest, it's not under consideration for me at the moment. I think the thing is, when you pick a player at that sort of price,
you want to leave.
I'm not saying you have to stick with it, but my decision on Vestergaard and all of my strategy was never to get rid of him ahead of roughly match day 33, basically. So I'm going to stick with it. I think the fixtures to come do tell me that that can change. And Southampton have had runs of clean sheets in the past this season where they've played some of these weaker teams back to back, and suddenly that's where he's had little jumps. So it's not a sell for me, but if you're buying Villa tonight, I can understand.
There we go. And that's a rundown of Sky for this week, listeners. I hope you're doing well and climbing up the leaderboard. Anything else to add, James?
No. Good luck to everyone. Have a good game week. Speak to you next week.
Indeed. Stay safe wherever you are. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.